Beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu is returning back to Eretz Yisrael and he's going to have to confront his brother Esav. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that he prepares himself for the three things, L'doron, L'tfilo, U'lamelchama. And he sends a message to his brother. He sends Malachim, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, and he sends a message. Imlov Angarti, and Rashi adds on from the Medrash, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. So some interpret taryag mitzvah is because the word garti is the same letters as taryag. Others say not so much because the letters are the same, but rather he was away for 20 years. So why does he say aloshin garti? Logger means to live temporarily. So he says, I was only a guest by Lavan. I wasn't living there. I didn't blend into the society because I was keeping mitzvahs and they were all over the Avodah Zarah. So that's where you see Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. It says, Garti means I was only a guest visiting for a while, for 20 years, and he didn't fit in with the society. How exactly can anybody fulfill all the Taryag Mitzvahs? The Prima Godim has a Sefer HaChumash that's called Tevas Goyma. And every parsha he has Goyma, Gimel, Mem, Aleph, he uses as a Rosh Tevas, Gimora, Medrash, Agoda. Every parsha he has at least three short paragraphs. Sometimes he has five or six, but every parsha has at least three. One is on Gemara, one is on Medrash, one is on Agadah. So I didn't really use the Sefer that much to understand what's the difference between Medrash and Agadah. I don't know. So on this pasuk, he has a comment. How can anyone possibly fulfill all of the Taryag mitzvahs? Some mitzvahs are only for Kohanim, some mitzvahs are only for non-Kohanim, some mitzvahs are for the Melech, and some mitzvahs are for the people who are not the Melech. It's impossible. There's no person in Klal Yisrael who can possibly fulfill all the Taryag mitzvahs. He develops the theme of Klal Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, that if you do the mitzvahs that you have to do, and I have to do the mitzvahs that I have to do, so altogether, all the Jewish people fulfill all of the 613 mitzvahs. And that's why in the Siddur, they have printed in a lot of Siddurim, the Nusach, that the Chassidish Rabbanim composed, Hashem Yichud Kodesh Bricha, before you start performing a mitzvah. So you declare that you're performing the mitzvah, b'shem kol Yisrael. You're doing the mitzvah on behalf of all the Jewish people, that the mitzvah that I do should be considered as if it relates to everybody. I'm representing all the Jewish people. This idea, taka kol Yisrael arei mezeh bezeh, is an important concept. It's both l'toiva and taba l'mutav. The Gemara says that the kosh l'ish b'yochiv, it says in the Toicheche, if someone else doesn't have avera, so I may be held responsible, I may be punished, because he doesn't have avera, limchus, and I'm not moicha, so I deserve a punishment. And it also applies, applies l'toifa, that the din is that yotza moitzi, the Baal Tekeya, and the Mishnah says in the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tekeya has to be a person who's mechui b'dover, of the best person who knows how to blow the shofar is a woman, or a cotton, or a nochri, so they can't be motzi asarabim dechevosam, unless he's mechui bedover. Mishena mechui bedover can't be motzi asarabim. So the Gemara says, what if the Baal Tekeya already heard kiyas and shul, and after benching he goes to the hospital to blow shofar for the other people, so he's not mechui bedover anymore, so how could he be motzi? The other Gemara said, that's okay, yotza, Moitzi, even though he was Yotze, he can blow Shofar again to be Moitzi the others. So Rashi and all the Rishonim say on that Gemara that the reason why is because Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh. Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh means more than sympathy. It means Kol Zman that there's still a Jew who didn't fulfill a mitzvah is considered as if I didn't fulfill a mitzvah yet. We treat all the Jews as if they're one body, as if it's one person. It's not that I have an obligation to you. We're all Mukhiv together. You have a pasuk, Lo sikam lo sitar es b'nei amecha, in the middle of Chumash Vayikra. So the Yerushalmi gives a mashal to understand the din of Lo sikam lo sitar, that if a person is cutting challah with a knife, and accidentally he cuts, he's holding the challah with the left hand, he's cutting with the right hand if he's a righty, and then accidentally he cuts his finger, so the left hand wouldn't take the kama from the right hand by slapping it. It's one organism. Does it make sense that one organ of the body should take the karma from the other organ, if it's one body? So there's a din of lasikam and lasita as b'nei amecha. We should visualize all the Jewish people as if it's one big body, as if it's one big organism. So kol zman taka, there's one Jew who wasn't yet yotze the mitzvah, so I'm still mechuyev. more than stam to be sympathetic for the other person. Arevus is something much more than that. So that's how the Prima Gadim has a comment over here. How is it possible for anyone to fulfill all the Taryag mitzvahs if some people are Kohanim, some people are non-Kohanim, so no one has the chiv to do all? So he says, all the people together fulfill all the Taryag mitzvahs, call this all Arevus Ebezah, so it's considered as if we all did all the mitzvahs together. Yankov Avinu was stuck in Padnarom over there. So there were no... So who is doing all the mitzvahs? There was no Kohen being Makor Karbonos on the Beis HaMikdash. And there was no Melech writing in Sefer Torah. So who is fulfilling all the Tariq? How is it possible for him to fulfill the Tariq mitzvahs? There was no one else doing the other mitzvahs. He with his wives, with his children. Where was everybody else? So the Prima Gadim has a suggestion. This is a discussion. Shulchan Aruch, he says... The Gemara has a comment that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Megillah, Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, how can we fulfill the obligation to be Makor of Karbonos? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, let the Jewish people recite the Parshas HaKarbonos. Mala ani aleim kilu hikrivim. I will consider it as if they actually brought the Karbonos, as the Navi says in the Shama Farim Soseinu. By the lip service, by speaking about Karbonos, it's considered, since we did the best that we're able to do, so it's considered as if we were makrib the karbonis. So there is a machloikus achrayim, whether that's miyuchad dafke to hakrobus karbonis and to base binyan base hamigdash, or it applies to all mitzvahs. So the Mabit writes in his sefer, Beis Elakim. Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was in the bezn of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He disagrees with him a lot. The Chazon Ish holds the Mabit was bigger than the Beis Yosef. With respect to the Shemitah of his man Azeh, different issues about Shemitah, so somehow the Chazon Ish thought that the Mabit's opinion should carry more weight than the Beis Yosef's opinion. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef got smicha. When they reinstituted smicha, Mabit was not one of the lucky winners. He did not get smicha. So that's why a lot of times the Sfardim follow all the time the Beis Yosef, because he, Men HaShemayim, they thought that he should get smicha, and the others didn't get smich. So the Mabit has a few svarim. So he has a sefer Beis Elokim, which is on Hashkofa and Yoni Hashkofa. So everybody quotes from that sefer. So he thinks that this idea of Kol Aloyim Kol Oisik BeParsha Soilu Kil Hikrei Vaylo is not miyuchad dafke to Karbanos. He thinks that it applies to all mitzvahs. Whoever is in a position that is unable to fulfill a mitzvah, so let him learn those deal. So that's what the Prima Gadim also writes like that over here. How did Yaakov Avinu fulfill all the Tariq HaMitzvah? How is it possible? There was nobody else there. There were no Malachim. There were no Kohanim. There were no Levim singing Shir in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Yaakov Avinu was learning all the dinim. And Mala Ani Aleichem Kilo Asisam is Kol HaMitzvah. And the Chafetz Chaim has in his introduction to the Likutei Halachos a long essay. The Chafetz Chaim encourages everybody to learn Kodshim. He felt that Mashiach is on his way, and we're soon going to be zechut to have a Beis HaMikdash, and we'll have to be makom karbonos. So it's going to be very much halacha l'maisa, just like we learn Arachaim, it's halacha l'maisa. So we have to be up on the Hilchas karbonos. So he has a long arichas. He thinks that all the Rishonim say that it only applies to hakrovas hakarbonos. He thinks it doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. The Midrashim say it applies also to binyan Beis HaMikdash. Even if you can't actually live in a generation, but you can't actually build a Beis HaMikdash, so you should learn up the dinim of Hilchas Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and it'll be considered as if we fulfilled that mitzvah. But when you get to other mitzvahs, the Chafetz Chaim thinks that it does not apply. He thinks that that's what the Rishonim said. All right, so this is a diyun in Achrayim. But the Prima Gadim has it on this pasuk in a Sefer Tevas Gaim. The Sefer Tevas Gaim is quoted every so often by the Pischei Tshuva. On Yerideya and Ebenezer, because the Tevas Goyma has Chidushim Halacha Lamaisa sometimes. Because on every Sedri he has Gemara Medrash Agoda, Goyma. So sometimes he talks Halacha Lamaisa. So the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was very nervous. Vayira Yaakov Yoid Vayetzelo, he was very nervous. Rashi has a famous comment quoting from the Medrash. He's afraid that he may kill others. What do you mean he's afraid he may kill others? Well, what's the concern over here? So some say he was afraid that if he's going to have to fight with his brother Esav, he may kill some civilians accidentally. So the Gurari by the Maralmi Prague has a comment over here. He says, whenever you have a heta to wage war, you're not allowed to kill civilians, but it's self-understood that every so often a lot of civilians get killed innocently. That's not, you can't have any tainas. In Medina Yisrael, there was a big pilpul. So some insisted that the soldiers in the army have to be very dainty, have to knock on the door before they go into the home of a terrorist, and they have to check everybody's ID to make sure whether you're really a terrorist or you're a friendly enemy. Are you an enemy or a friendly enemy? And the other Rabbanim said, that's ridiculous. Nobody fights a war like that. So Tamar Army Prague says, unfortunately, whenever you fight a war, when you have a Hetta Mohammed, so the Hetta Mohammed is a Hetta Ritzicha, unfortunately. The Hetta Ritzicha even applies to sometimes civilians. Civilians get killed innocently in a war. So it's problematic. Why Rashi the Medrash says, Vayetzalo Shema Yarges Acher. They may have to kill others. What was he concerned about, Shema Yarges Acher? So in Yiddish folklore, they say Pshat and Rashi Shema Yarges Acherim. The Gemara says in the end of Horius that Rab Meir and Rab Nosson, I think, wanted to depose Rabbi Gamliel. So he was the chief rabbi. So they were going to ask him a question in public the next morning that he wasn't going to know, and we're going to show that he's not worthy of being the chief rabbi. So that night, somebody tipped off Beremes, they tipped off Rabbi Gamliel that he better chazer Mishnayis. So he chazered. So the next day, they did not succeed in humiliating him, and they did not depose him on that occasion. But as a punishment to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, why they wanted to do such a stunt, they wanted to humiliate the chief rabbi in public. So the Gemara says that they punish them. So sometimes, not all the time, sometimes when you have a brisa, so instead of quoting Rabbi Meir by name, it says Acherim Omrim. So Acherim Omrim is sometimes Rabbi Meir. Tosis has kashas all over Shas. So sometimes you have a brisa where there's a machlekes Hatana, machlekes Rabbi Meir, and Acherim Omrim. So how can it be? How can it be that Rabbi Meir is Acherim Omrim? Some suggest that the only time they call Rav Meir Acher Marmim is if it's a din that he heard from Acher. Rav Meir learned by Elisha ben Avuya, who was known as Acher. So some Rishonim say like that the only time they'll refer to Rav Meir as Acher Marmim is when he's saying it over from Acher. He's saying his own sheet, and then they'll quote him by name. What kind of an Indian is that? A punishment to a Talmid Chacham who does something improper? So you don't say over the halach in his name. Say, there are those who say, yeah. The Gemara has like that in Perek HaKoines. The Gemara says when a Talmid Chacham acts improperly, they don't say over Dvar Halacha in his name. Such a Gemara in Avodah Zarah also, that if a Talmid Chacham violates the Din de Rabbanan of Pasakum, he eats Pasakum, so you shouldn't say over Dvar Halacha in his name. Because when you say over Dvar Halacha in the name of the person, you're saying that person belongs in the Seder HaMasorah. So the Seder HaMasorah are supposed to be learned people who are tzaddikim, supposed to look up to them. So he may be learned, but if he's not a tzaddik, so you shouldn't say over b'shem amr. Amr d'over b'shem amr is only if it's a person whom we want to look up to. So some say over here, the Gemara says that Remeir was a descendant of Gerim. He himself was not a Gerim, he was a descendant of Gerim. So some say, v'yetza lo shesh, he was afraid shemayar gacherim, if he's going to bump off Esav, so Rav Meir won't be able to be born. Shem Yarek Achem is an allusion to Rav Meir. That's how they have in Yiddish folklore. That's how they say. Yeah.
How can we say that, not to say something over in their name, but doesn't like Mar say that we assume that we see a tzaddik to an Aveir, we assume that he did Shuvah?
You should assume that he did tshuva. We assume Talmid HaChachamim are usually to the extent. We have no, I remember my Rebbe used to say, we have no barometer to measure one's Yirah Shemayim. We have no way to measure one's Yirah Shemayim. So the only way we can measure is we assume to the extent Torah Mevila De Zahiris, Iris Mevila De Zerizus, the Brisa that the whole Mesilas Hasharim is based on. We assume that the one who's more learned is probably going to be a greater Yirah Shemayim. We assume like that. So that's what the Gemara says in Marisa Tamachochim Shavar Aber Balayla Al Tahar Racha Bayoim Vada Yosachu. We should assume he did Chu. But if you know that the guy is a character, sometimes you have Talmid HaChachamim, and we know that they're characters. They give Hashgachas that are not reliable. They're not so medactic in davening, and not so medactic in mitzvahs. So such a person, even if he has a good Dvar Halacha, sounds good, You shouldn't say it over in his name. You say you heard from someone. You shouldn't adopt it. You shouldn't say it over in your own name. You should say, Acherim Amrim. There are those who say. The Gemara in the first perek in Soita has a lot of agarta towards the end of the first perek. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about humility. The Gemara has a machlokes: is it proper that a Talmid Chacham should have a little bit of gaiva, that people should respect him, or no? So one opinion in the Gemara was that Talmid Chacham should have a shminis b'shminis. Should have a little bit of gaiva. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, lo minov lo miktsos. You shouldn't even have the shminis b'shminis. What does it mean, shminis b'shminis? So the Velt usually says, an eighth is 1/64, so it's batel b'shishim. So even if he has a little gaiva, it'll be batel b'shishim, it won't have a bad effect on him. What's the idea? He has to have shminis b'shminis in order to command respect from the balabatim. He was going to walk around with his head low. Yeah, so he won't be respected. Of kovar ha-Torah, he has to have, he has to dress nicely, and he has to act in with a little bit of shtolz. So we pass ganatza. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon a different interpretation. It's not pshuto in the Gemara. He said the eighth parsha in the Chumash is Vayishlach. The eighth pasuk in Vayishlach is Katanti Mikolach Hasadim. So that's the Shminis Shabishminis. You should not be arrogant. It doesn't fit into the Gemara. The Gemara said beferish. The first opinion says Talmid Chacham should have a little bit of shtolz. And the conclusion is not so. Lo minova, lo miktsasa, we don't accept that opinion. So the Vilna Gaon says, this is the Shminis Shabishminis, the eighth pasuk and the eighth sedra, katan mikol hasadim. He should be humble. Rav Soloveitchik has an essay about Talmud Torah va'anova, humility in connection with learning, that we believe, as in a few of his published essays, that both the Baal HaTanya and Rav Chaim Volozhiner, they had a machlokes about some aspect of Kabbalah, but 98% of Kabbalah they all agree on. So one of the things that the Rav Soloveitchik has in a few essays, one of the things that they both agree upon is the following, that the Torah is not merely a collection of dinim, the Torah is a description of elokus. So when a person is successful in learning, he discovers some new insight into a halacha, he's discovering some new aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's getting closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's why a person should be cheerful when he learns Torah. A person, we say, Baharavna Shamokan is Divisay Roscha. Baharavna, make it pleasant. It's pleasant because when a person enters into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Gemara says, Ein Atzus Lefnei HaMokam. The Gemara says in the first paragraph in Chagiga, we say in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hod V'Hod Olafonav Oiz V'Chedva B'Mekayma. When in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be Chedva, it's always going to be rejoicing. There's no atzvos in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when a person learns Torah and he succeeds in figuring something out, he's getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's discovering more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. But that's why it should be Molei Simcha. And then Rav Soloveitchik said, if a person is coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can he be arrogant? If he really believes that learning Torah, he's learning about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like and he's entering into the presence of Hashem, so he should pale into insignificance. I can be arrogant. I think I'm smarter than everybody. I'm better looking. I'm richer. Whatever. People are arrogant about chochma, about gevura, about ashiras. The Navi says you shouldn't be such a knack. You shouldn't be arrogant because when the baby, before the baby is born, the malach determines whether this baby will be a chochma, gibur, or ashir. So those three things are determined min Hashemayim. That's not up to me. I didn't do that. Because hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyirei shemayim. That I did. If I'm a yirei shemayim, that's what I did. So I have the right to be proud of that. But one who learns Torah, that's an observation. One who learns Torah, if he really believes that the Torah is a description of elokus, and when he discovers some new insight in Torah, he's coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You melt into insignificance. How can one be a balgaiva? A balgaiva in comparison to other human beings. I'm smarter, I'm richer, I'm stronger, whatever. I have my list that the other, I'm better looking, whatever. Movie star. He's better looking than the other guy. So he has some miles, the other one has. But in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom, what do you have that is greater than the Rabbanu Shalom? How can you be a Baal Gaiva in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom? That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik has a whole essay about Talmud Torah and Anava, that if Talmud Chacham really believes in this concept, it doesn't make sense that he should be arrogant when he succeeds in learning. A person has to be arrogant while he's learning. Rabbi Soloveitchik was in a certain sense a split personality. When he was learning, he was very arrogant. What's the pshat? It doesn't make sense. And he would scream, what's the pshat? Until he figured it out. And then when he figured it out, then he would withdraw. Now he says in the presence of Rabbanu Shalom, so then he would be humble. While you're learning, you have to have a little chutzpah. You can't be, if you won't have any chutzpah when you're learning, so you'll never succeed in learning. They have this story in the Chut HaMshulash, the official biography of the Chasam Sofer, that when he was bar mitzvah, so he said a dvar Torah, he said his own shtikl Torah and his bar mitzvah. So he said over something from his great-grandfather, from the Kosis Yeshuas, a sefer on the Zikin. Zikin is Seder Yeshuas, and then he shlugged it up. He explained why it's not right. So his father slapped him, and he said, little boy, what do you have the chutzpah at the age of 13 to disagree with your great-grandfather? So the Rebbe was there, Rav Nosson Adler, so he said to the father, why do you slap him? The kid is right. He knows what he's talking about. Elta Zeta is wrong, the kid is right. So he told the Rav Nosson Adler, told the Chasam Sofer, that he should leave his father's home. Because whenever he's going to learn, he's going to ask Akasha and Rashi. The father's going to slap him. How do you have the chutzpah there? He's going to ask Akasha, Ashvera Rambam, Ashvera Taisus. His father's going to slap him every time. He's not allowed to ask any kashas. In our religion, we believe you have to have chutzpah, you have to have gaiva, you have the right to ask kashas, and you have the right to work it out. After you worked it out, and you're now in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom, you discovered some new insight about the Rabbanu Shalom. So then you have to be humble. But while you're learning, you have to be a little bit arrogant. One of the earlier Lubavitcher Rebbes, I think the second Rebbe, the third Rebbe, has a whole essay, Kuntri Samayon, about the Gaiva de Kedusha. There is such a concept as Gaiva de Kedusha. Sometimes I have Vayigbali Bebedarche Hashem. I think it's a description of Shlomo HaMelech. Vayigbali Bebedarche Hashem. I think it's a passing Divrei Yomim. There is such a thing. There is a room for a Gaiva de Kedusha. So Yaakov Avinu prepares himself for all three, L'dorna, L'tfilo, or L'melchama. Then at the Doron, he's preparing this matana, some tremendous matana that he plans to give to Esav. So the Pasuk says, V'atav ha-mincha al-panav hulon ba-layla ha-hu ba-machaneh. What does it mean? Vatahav amincha al panav. So Rashi says kimo lifanav. Vatahav amincha lifanav. And then Rashi says Medrash Agada has a different interpretation. Al panav means that he was angry. Afu shori b'kasoyon shori tzorach b'chol zeh. He was very angry. So he too was afu shori b'kas. He was also angry. Who else was angry? It's very unclear. Why does the Medrash, Rashi is quoting the Medrash, Afu shori b'kas hayo shori tzorach l'chozeh. He was also angry. Who was the other one who was angry? Esav. What was Esav angry about? That Yaakov cheated him 20 years earlier. He stole the brachas from him. What was he angry about? So the Bar Tanura has a commentary on Rashi, al Torah, that's called Amar Noka, Tzemar Noki. I think the Pasuk in Daniel describes the vision that Daniel had about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's an old man with long white hair and wearing a white garment. Levushi kitlag chiver. The Rebbeinu Shalom is wearing a white garment, white as snow. And sairei kamar noka. And the hair, the Rebbeinu Shalom's hair, is like clean wool. Amar noka, tzema noki. Levushi kitlag chiver is supposed to be a talus. That's how the Sefer Hasidim quotes from the Kabbalah. The vision that Daniel had of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that Rebbeinu Shalom is an old man wearing a white talus. That's what the Ramos says. Our meaning is we wear a white talus, zecha to the talus that the Rebbeinu Shalom was wearing in the vision that Daniel had. And sare kamanoka. So that's the Bar Tanura. Amanoka tzemer on the sheep is always dirty because the sheep roll in mud puddles. So you have to wash out the tzemer to clean it. So the Bar Tanura wants to wash out the Rashis al Torah to clean up all the Rashis when there are difficulties. Every so often he'll make a hagoh on a Rashi, a misprint, he'll explain what Rashi is talking about. So on this Rashi, he has a comment, Batava Mincha Al Panov. This is not one sense. Afu Shari Bekas Hoya. He too was angry. No. Al Panov means Afu, period, means anger. Shari Bekas Hoya, Shari Tzach L'Choze. Not that he too was angry. Not the word Af means Gam. Gam Hu Shari Bekas. No. Al Panov means Vayichar Af Hashem. Vayichar Af Hashem means Hashem was angry. Vatara Mincha Al Panov means that Yankov was angry. Afu, period. The Loshen Kas. That Yankov Avida was angry. That's his, it's not a Hagoah, it's his punctuation of the Rashi. It says the Medrash didn't mean to say that he was also angry in addition to someone else, that Yankov Avida was angry. He keeps on buttering up Esav. He sends the messengers, Adonai Esav, Abducha Yankov, buttering him up. The Gemara has a whole discussion about Chanifa L'Rishoyim. The Gemara in the first Perek in Saita has a discussion. Also lahachnech, also lahachnef rishoyim. There's a din of lifnei v'lisitei michshol, that you're not allowed to lead someone on to do an avera. What if the person is doing averas on his own, and we pat him on the back, and we show him, oh, wonderful, you're a nice guy, wonderful guy. So that's chanifa l'rishoyim. We have pat the rosh on the back, so I'm encouraging him to continue in his style of life, that there's nothing wrong. Let's say there's a man who is married to a non-Jewish woman, and he donates $5 million to the yeshiva. So they make him the guest of honor, and they say, what a wonderful person he is. They once had such a Mlava Malka, it was in the West, in the Midwest. And the non-Jewish wife got up, and the Mlava Malka said, out of respect to my husband's religion, I'm giving $500,000 from my own money. So the people said, Ashanda Nacharpa, they're honoring a man married to a non-Jewish woman and patting him on the back. And the wife gets up out of respect for my husband's religion. So they chase the Rosh HaKollel out of town. So Rav Moshe has tshuvas about this. Is the yeshiva, let's say there's a wealthy balabas and he's on a Shomer Shabbos and he doesn't keep kosher, doesn't keep a Jewish religion, and he gives a major donation to some yeshiva, to some Jewish institution, and make him the guest of honor. And they only praise him for the wonderful mitzvahs and ma'aseh mitzvahim that he does. And they never speak about the averus that he does. Privately, publicly, nothing. That's mamash chanifa l'rishoyim. You want to honor him, you should honor him that he gave money to the church. You don't have to bop him over the head in public, but at least you have to tell him privately. You know, you got to keep kosher. If you just pat him on the back, that's called chanifa l'rishoyim. Some disagreed with Rav Moshe. Some said, yeah. The students in the yeshiva and all the people that come, everybody understands that we're only honoring him for the mitzvah, and we're not honoring him for the fact. Yeah, but the guy himself doesn't realize that. He takes it that you're patting him on the back. He's not sophisticated enough to appreciate the fact that we're not happy about this. So that's when the Gemara has a whole sugya. In a certain sense, it's a violation. If you pat the rosh on the back and you show that you're buddy-buddy with him, so this is, in a certain sense, a violation of Lifnei V'Lisiti Michshol. So after a whole sugi of telling how terrible, of spelling out how terrible it is, Chanifa L'Rishayim, then the Gemara says, so how come Yankov Avinu says, Abducho Yankov, and Adoni Yesov, how come he butters him up and he gives him the maton, he makes him more than the guest of honor? He's Mechabed Yesov. Gemara says, Muta L'Hach Nifrishayim Ba'olam Hazeh. So when is it also? Ba'olam Abo. So when is it also? We're talking Ba'olam Hazeh. What does that mean? So Tosfos says, the whole Gemara is contradictory. First you have 20 lines, how chomer and aver it is, lahach nefeshon. Then the last line it says, muta lach nefeshon b'olam hazeh. So Tosfos said, what it means is, that if there's a suffix, hakonas nefoshes, then it's muta. Yaakov Avinu was afraid that Esav was going to kill him. Maybe he misjudged the situation. Maybe the Medrash has condemned Yaakov Avinu, that he should have ignored Esav, he should have gone on his own way, he should have returned back to Esav, forget about Esav. So maybe Yankov Avinu was overcautious over here. That's one opinion in the Medrash, that he shouldn't have sent him anything. But Yankov Avinu was petrified. Very Yankov Yod Vayetzelo. He was afraid Shema Yehorek. So Shema Yehorek. So if it's a suffix akona, so suffix akona is derech kol atarkula, except for the gimel averus achamur. So just like it's derech everything else. So it's derech this din of lifniv lesita michshol as well. It's derech the chanifa l'rishayim as well. But whenever there's no suffix hakanas nefashis, then it's not right. Chanifa l'rishayim is considered a serious aveira. Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu had all of these children. Vayivasa Yaakov Levada, he's all by himself schlepping all the luggage. The children were not helping him out. Why not? He was an old man. Rashi makes a calculation, he was 84 or something. 84 is pretty old. And he's schlepping all the luggage. So the Rashi quotes from one Medrash, he was schlepping all the pachan ketanim. So the children said, Dad, what are you wasting your time? It's junk. Leave it already and leave it on the other side. Why do you have to schlep everything home? They're going to sleep. They went to sleep. And Yaakov Avinu didn't want to be mevater even on the junk, even on the pachan ketanim, even on the things that were insignificant. But you're 84 years old. You can get a heart attack. You can break your back. So the Gemara says, Tzadikim, chaviv aleim amayim yosem igufam. They cherish their money more than they cherish their own body. What kind of a wild statement is that? So the Gemara says, because the tzadikim, every penny that they earned is honest money. They didn't cheat, they didn't steal. Nothing was dishonestly earned. All of their money is their money. So that's why they cherish their money very much. Other people, they cheated here and there. Easy come, easy go. I'm not really entitled. I stole this money from the other guy. So I'll be mevatim. But tzaddikim, since all every penny that they have is their money that they're entitled to, so that's why a lot of times they have such an attitude. So that's why vayivasa Yaakov levado, the children didn't want to help him because it was all junk. It was all pachim ktanim. They helped them apparently on the luggage and the clothing and everything else that they really needed. Pachim ktanim, they didn't want to. So then he has a fight with this malach. That's how the Pasuk says in the Haftarah. In this week's Haftarah it says, he was fighting Vayasa Yaakov and Malach Vayuchalo. In the Chumash it doesn't really say that it was a Malach, but that's how the Novi says in Hosea, that he was fighting with a Malach Vayuchalo. And in the Chumash it doesn't say who won the battle. It just says the next morning, Yaakov was Tzalei al Yerecho. So he may have thought that the Malach won. So the Pasuk says, no, Vayuchalo. Then Yaakov beat out the Malach. Yaakov's leg was broken. Tzalei al Yerecho. He broke his leg, but still Yaakov won the battle. So in order to remember this story, so the children of Yaakov Avinu accepted upon themselves not to eat Ginanosh. What does that mean? So some of the Mefarshim explain, they felt they needed a kapara for not being the kind Kibbut Aviyah. They said, Pachim Ktanim, I don't want to waste my time. So they all went to sleep. Then they realized they should have helped out the father, that somebody mugged him, somebody beat him up, and he had a broken leg the next morning. So as a kapara for not having fulfilled kibbutz properly, that's how some Rishonim interpret, I think the Cheskuni interprets like that, that's al-kein. We don't need gidanosh to remember the fact that our the shvatim didn't fulfill kibbutz properly. The Radak and his Bir Al HaTorah always has fascinating interpretations. Radak has on Chumash also, not just on Novi. So the Radak says, what is the whole encounter supposed to represent? That Yaakov has a fight with the Malach and Yaakov wins. Kisarisa im alehim im anoshim atucho. Yaakov Avinu beats out the Malach. So the Radak says the Malachim, different kinds of Malachim. The Malach over here represents Teva. That's how the Gemara says in Chulin, in the first peg. En l'chol kol eisa v'yesa milmato, every blade of grass, she'en lo malach milmailo, hamako osa l'omalo gadel. Every blade of grass has a malach who beats it, who hits it, and it instructs the grass to grow. It means all of Teva. All of Teva in the world is run by malachim. The malachim see to it that olam kim in hagenoik, that Teva should continue. So B'nai Yisrael have a conflict with the Teva. The Bnei Yisrael win. The Bnei Yisrael ala ma'ilam en ha-teva. That's what the Gemara says, that ain't mazal Yisrael, that all the other nations are tachas shlitas ha-kachovim ha-mazolas. The rules and regulations of there are rules of physics and rules of chemistry and rules of biology, and the rules of history. And the history of the Jewish people is la-ma'ilam en ha-teva, not subject to the Teva. So the Radak says that that's the idea behind this fight with the Malach. When Bnei Yisrael are confronted with Teva, so Bnei Yisrael win. We have in the Hilchos Birchas Hamazon, it says that the Gemara has a Shalom Perek B'Mamadlikin, when it says after the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, So the Shana Acheres Kvom Yomim Tovim Mahal Vahido. A year after the Nes Chanukah, the Chachamim is Man Abayis. It was 200 years, over 200 years before the Churban Abayis. So the Chachamim in the next year instituted as a Yontif to add to see what's going to be. Maybe the Malchus Chashmonaim will fall apart. So after a year later, they saw that this Nes is meaningful. So then it says they made it a Yontif. Shana Acheres Kvom Yomim Tovim Mahal Vahido. Hoido means, Hal means you have to recite Hal every day of Chanukah, and Hoido means you have to say V'ala Nisim in the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara has a Shaila, when that Brisa Megillas Taanis says Hoidoya, you have to say V'ala Nisim in the Shmoneh Esrei. What about V'ala Nisim in the Benchin? You have to say V'ala Nisim in the Benchin or not. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion you don't have to. That's not part of the Takana, and it's only a Minig. The Minig is that we say V'ala Nisim in the Bichas Hamas. In the Shmoneh Esrei, it's Medina. But in the Bichas HaMazon, so it's obvious if a person forgets Al HaNisim in the Bichas HaMazon, he doesn't have to daven over again. Even in the Shmoneh Esrei, he forgets Al HaNisim. That's a takan, still doesn't have to daven over again. The Gemara says in Perek Lamem Adlik, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa, that Yomim Sheyesh Bohem Musafim, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chalamayl, on Yontif, Yom Sheyesh Bo Musaf, so that's a Yontif Min HaTorah. So then you have to be Maskir Yalav Yovai in the Shmoneh Esrei. And if lo hiskir machzir mos yom sheim em karbon musaf, then that's only with the rabbanon. Is a make believe on the level of the rice. It's not a different day from the other days. The Gemara says they made a takana to say al anisim or aneinu on a tiny sibur, but if you didn't say it, you don't have to repeat the shmanes. Yom sheim by musafim, you don't have to repeat the shmanes. But in bichas hamazon for sure you don't have to. Bichas hamazon al anisim is only a minig. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says, whoever forgot to say Al Anisim in the Bichas HaMazon, when he finishes, Tehil Yodam Al Yichasreinu, then you add on Harachman, Yimuch Aleinu Yodam Avod, you add on so many Harachman, so add on another Harachman, Harachman Yasalon Anisim in the Flores, Shem Shasis La Vesein Ava Yom Avayim Azman Azeh, and then you say, Bimei Matliso Ben Yechanan. So the Shari Tshuva, next to the Behete, quotes Akasha, from the Parim Meiris, apparently he was a descendant from the Parim Meiris. The Yestakasha from Adoni Obis Kenef, from his great grandfather, the Parim Meiris, how can you ask HaKadosh Baruch HaRachman Yasalon and Isim in the Flores? The Mishnah says in Brachas, you're not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch for a miracle. If the wife is pregnant already, if the wife is not pregnant yet, and he has already 15 boys and he wants a girl, he has 15 girls and he wants a boy, so pray to the Baruch Shalom, he should have a girl, have a boy. But if his wife is already pregnant, she's going to give birth to the baby next month, and now he wakes up, now he's going to start praying, it should be a boy or a girl. Mishnah says you're asking Baruch Shalom to make a miracle. That's not right. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So how can we ask a Rachman in Asalam and Isham in the Flores? Geshem Shasisalav Hasena, but Yamim Haim is Manasena. You're not allowed to ask for miracles. So he quotes the three klolim from the Panim Iris. He says the first klol is if you ask for an Eis Nistar. An Eis Nistar doesn't have to be an Eis to change Chukia Teva. Baruch Hashem should see to it that, let's say, someone is dying from a sickness. The doctors say there's nothing they can do to help them. So you can pray to the Baruch Hashem. Maybe some doctor will discover a new cure. Maybe someone will come up with a new medication. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please see to it that the fellow should get better.
Wouldn't the gender of the child also be an Eis Nistar when it's in the womb?
I mean, it's... we don't see it happening, but we're asking the Rebbe Shalom, even if it's a girl, change it to become a boy. Because we know that there's a certain stage in the pregnancy when it's determined whether it's a boy or a girl. It's not determined the minute that it's born. It's determined a few months earlier. So the Gemara says, after that stage, we know that it's already determined. So we're not allowed to ask, even though it's not noticeable, it's not visible to the onlooker, but still we're asking for a miracle. That's called an eis to change Chukei HaTeva.
How do you define
an Eis Nistar? Eis Nistar is like the Nes of Purim. That nothing broke Chukei HaTeva. It's just a whole series of circumstances. Let's say the yeshiva has no money, they're holding by closing, then all of a sudden some guy out of the clear blue sky, like what they have a couple of years ago, a woman died and she left in her will to leave $13 billion to Stern College. That was an Eis Nistar. She had no relatives. That was a nice nisa. It's not a nice nigla. Nothing changed. Chukei HaTeva.
Did one of them that her Ubar should change?
Right, right. So the Paramiris has three klalim. Says one klal is you're allowed to ask for an eis nister. Second klal is even for an eis nigla, if it's on behalf of klal Yisrael, you're allowed to ask because klal Yisrael ala ma'ilam in ateva. Then he says the third klal is unusual tzaddikim. The Gemara has in Masechas Tainus. There's one perek in Tainus that tells a lot of stories about tzaddikim. That's the Pirkei de Hasidi, the perek that tells all the stories about the Hasidim. The Aftanoim who were asking for nisim, unusual nisim. So if it's an unusual tzaddik, just like klal Yisrael is lamala manatevas, unusual tzaddik can also have a right to ask for a nes, because they're also lamala manatevas. So the Radak in his commentary on Chumash understands that that's what's represented by the fight between Yankif Avinu and the Malach. Means Yankif Avinu represents Klal Yisrael, and the Malach represents Teva, and Yankif Avinu wins. Means Klal Yisrael survives. There's a Pasuk in Novi, it's one of the Haftaras, it's not this week's Haftar, where the Pasuk says, when they drown the Jewish person, he survives, he doesn't drown. When they burn him in the crematorium, he doesn't get burned. What do you mean? They burned millions of Jews in the crematorium. They drowned a lot of Jews. They killed them. It means Klal Yisrael survives. It's not a haftocha. That's the Tshuvas HaRashba says like that. Ein Mazal Yisrael goes on Klal Yisrael as a nation. The Jewish people will survive. Individual people will lose their lives. Ein Mazal Yisrael goes on the nation as a whole.
Isn't Rebbe say that for any disease a person can be down for? Isn't there a story that there was Rashi Ben Panovich who didn't want to daven for...
I remember when I visited Panovich many years ago, the Mashgiach didn't want to daven because they were davening for a person who was so deathly sick. The doctors, they didn't think that there was a chance that he would survive. So then Rab Shmuel Rozovsky leaned over and told the Mashgiach, Rab Chatzka Levenstein, told the Mashgiach that he's sick to the same extent that so-and-so was sick and so-and-so survived. So then Mashgiach said, okay. So then the Bederach HaTeva, it's possible. We should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have the doctors come up. The person mamish holding by dying, 2 days, the doctor thinks he's going to die within 2 days. So it's not going to help. The doctors are going to come up with a cure. It'll help someone else whose disease is not so developed. He's not holding by the end. If a guy's holding by gesisa, so that's mamish. You're asking for an eis nigla. If a person has the beginning stages of a serious disease, and then it's still possible that doctors can come up with some new kind of a cure. Okay, so yes, can for an eis nista, the doctors should come up with a new cure. Yeah, cherub chada is like if there's a war in the cherub chada, so it's possible b'derech hateva. Let's say the Nazis were about to kill Jews, and then they started losing the war. Then the Russians came, the American soldiers came, the Russian armies came. Then the Nazis lost the war. So that's literally cherub chada. If there's a war, so a war can end with a political intervention, with the other army winning the war. That's not really an eis nigla. But mamash, a person is holding by gesisa, so then it doesn't make sense to be mispala that he should have a refuah shleimah. You can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have rachmanis on the patient. Rachmanis sometimes he means B'chayim Meisim B'rachmim Rabbim. He should die in peace. He shouldn't have a Misa Mishuna. He should die in peace. Maybe he should be cured. Maybe he should die in peace. And maybe he should have a Tchias HaMeisim. A lot of times they call up the yeshiva, we should be mispal for a chayla. So, obviously the chayla called up at 11:30. We should daven for the chayla. So, Mistam, when we daven mincha at 2:30, Mistam is still alive. But the continued say tillim tomorrow, it says if the chayla is not lefaneinu, we don't know if he's alive or dead. Maybe he died already. So you can say tillim, you can be mispal, but you shouldn't say yishlach meher refuah shleimah. How can you say ask for refuah shleimah? Maybe he died already. You should ask Rabban Shalom should have rachmanis on him. If he's alive, have rachmanis, he should, maybe they should come up with a cure, maybe he should die in peace, and maybe if he's dead already, he should have a tchias hameisim. If you ask it, if he ask the tefillah should be, he should have rachmanis, so Rabban Shalom knows what's rachmanis. Rabban Shalom knows how to have rachmanis on people. the pasuk says, "Akein leyoch menei sod gid anoshe ara yoy mazeh." What does it mean, ara yoy mazeh? So some interpret in the pasuk until the coming of Mashiach, because the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu was tzalei al yirechai, that the Malach broke his leg. This is representative of Dorosh al Shmad, that there were generations, but the Goyim succeeded. They didn't succeed in wiping out the whole Jewish nation, but they succeeded. They succeeded in killing many, many Jews. So that represents Dorosh al Shmad. So this is going to go on. Vayove ki yishimo ad alois ha-shachar. The Zohar understands ad alois ha-shachar till bias ha-mashiach. So that's why some achreinim add on. Means up until the coming of Mashiach. If the Mashiach comes, we won't have to abstain from eating Gid Anoshe. That's when Shabsai Tzvi declared himself as a Mashiach, and he had many followers. So to demonstrate that they subscribe to his Mashiachiyut, so they all ate Gid Anoshe. Gemara says, Hotnish Kantam. That doesn't taste like anything. I guess they put on a lot of ketchup, a lot of mustard or something. They had to demonstrate that they believe that Shabsai Tzvi is the Melech HaMashiach, so they ate Gid Anoshe. So this is questionable. Is this really the Pshat? Reb Shlomo LaVilna has this in his Sefer. Binyan Shlomo is a Tshuva Sefer on Chelek HaRechayim. Then the second Chelek is on Yeredeya, Atzei Almoygim. So the beginning of the first Chelek, Binyan Shlomo, Chelek HaRechayim, he has around 30 pages comments on Chumash. So he picks this up from the Shalom. Adayam Azet till Bias HaMashiach, because the whole Gid Anoshe is to represent the idea of Dorosh al Shmad, Vayove Kishim Aralos HaShachar, Aralos HaShachar, the Zohar says is a reference to Bias HaMashiach. It's questionable whether this is so. There's a famous kasha that the Tzlach asks. Tzlach is the Nadi Behuda Sefer. On Brochus, on Psochem and Beitz as well, but on Brochus he has a kasha on the Rambam. The Mishnah says that there's a mitzvah, in addition to the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim every year on Lel Pesach by the Seder, there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. That's why we recite the third parsha in Shema. The first two parshas in Shema say we should recite it B'shach B'chav Kumecha. Why do we recite the third parsha in Shema? To talk about tzitzis every day? We should all wear tzitzis every day, fine. Why do we repeat that? Why do we recite that parsha? Not because of the tzitzis Shabo, but rather because of the concluding pasuk. We should mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. So the Tzlach is bothered with the kasha. How come the Rambam doesn't quote it in the Minyan HaMitzvah? Rambam lists up what, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvah. Why doesn't he count this as a mitzvah? So the Pashat answer to the kasha, the most elementary answer, Al Pi Pashtus, is that the Rambam writes in the first half of his Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gives it Yud Dalet Sharoshim, the 14 Klolim, what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, one not. So he says he's only going to include mitzvahs that are the Fi Pshutu Shon Mikro, the roshas of the Torah Shebal Peh, additional levels of interpretation. And every generation, they're going to have the right to give additional levels of interpretation. So maybe in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were 613 mitzvahs. By the time it comes to the generation of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, you may have 5,000 mitzvahs. Maybe every generation, they keep on adding on additional levels of interpretation. So that's why the Rambam holds like that. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim, that the rabbis never originated any dinim. Any din that Makom Asher Talmid Vasagasa L'Chadish, any din that any scholar came up with in the future was never Lala Moshe Mitzvah. Everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam has a big attack against that. The Hagdama to the Pirush HaMishnah, he said, that's ridiculous. The Chachamim in every generation had the right to use the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam to read new insights into the Pesukim. So the Rambam says, how can you say you only have 613 mitzvahs? So if your Chacham comes up with a new mitzvah, he has to cross out one of the previous mitzvahs. No, 613 is Lefi Pshuto Shel Mikra. Then you can have as many mitzvahs as you want based on the Roshes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's the simple answer why the Rambam didn't include Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, because there is no such pasuk that says explicitly. It says you should eat Pesach matzah mar leman tizkas hem tizchem yem tzayin kai mechayach. He said you should eat korban Pesach and matzah mar leil Pesach in order to remember leman tizkas hem tizchem yem tzayin kai mechayach. So the Gemara has a darshan leman adrasha. Leman tizka means leman taskir. You should mention. And leman taskir kai mechayach. Mechayach Hayamim kol yemechayecha halelos. You should mention by yom and balayla. But the whole thing is a drasha. That's not the pshuto shal mikra. Pshuto is that this is an asinas tam for the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, and more. So that's al pi pashta. So somehow a lot of achrayim got involved giving other suggestions. What they answer? So they quote the Rav Salvezhi. They quote in the name Rav Chaim two answers. The family, he published the two answers. The family in Eretz only has one answer, the name Rav Chaim. He used to say two answers. So the one answer that they all say, everybody says over, is that the Rambam writes in the Yud Dalet Sharashim, you only include a mitzvah which is Nahegis Ladaris. If there's a mitzvah that's only Harashah, that doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, that they had a knock on the next door neighbor's doors before he'd see us when Tzrayim, to ask for Matanis, that's a Harashah, that doesn't belong. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanim. Will the mitzvah of zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim still continue to exist limos hamashiach or not? So one Tana says yes, because imechayecha el mazeh kol imechayecha lahavi limos hamashiach. You still be mechuyev even after Mashiach comes. You still be mechuyev. So according to that Tana, it comes out that it's a mitzvah hanaheges l'doros. So Rav Chaim says, but we don't pass like that Tana. That Tana holds that zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim is only by yom and not by laila. Mantiska is going to call you Mechayech, only Hayamim Velo Halevis. We don't paskin like that. We paskin Yimechayecha Hayamim, call you Mechayecha Halelos. So the word call is used to be Marba Lelos, and Lahavi the Mosha Mashiach is not accepted. The Mosha Mashiach, the mitzvah will not apply. The mitzvah of Sipit Yitzias Mitzrayim Lel Pesach will apply, but the mitzvah every single day to mention Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, that will not exist in the Mosha Mashiach. So that's what Rav Chaim said. Once you say that this mitzvah will not apply in the Mosha Mashiach, then it's called the Hayruah Shor. Hayruah Shor doesn't only mean on one occasion. If you have a Hayruah Shor for 3,500 years, that's also Hayruah Shor. It's also called the Hayruah Shor. A mitzvah in the Hegel Zadaris means literally Lidaris, Limos HaMashiach also. So we say the way Rav Chaim assumed, that you can't say like this. You have a right to argue with Rav Chaim, okay. But if you adopt like Rav Chaim, then you can't say, Adoy HaMazai means the prohibition, Tikir Anoshe, is a Hayruah Shor. It only applies for a couple of thousand years, and Limos HaMashiach, it won't apply anymore. Then it's a Hayruah Shor. But the Rambam does include, the Rambam includes not eating Gidan Nosh in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. You see, according to the way Rav Chaim understood, the Rambam understood that the mitzvah of Gidan Nosh will still apply, even Limos HaMashiach. We don't have to accept what the Shabbosai Tzvi thought. Shabbosai Tzvi told his followers, they should eat Gidan Nosh. That's what he's Egezot Tazer. Maybe he's not right. The Zohar has a famous comment on the Vayovik Yishima Arolos HaShachar that will have Dorish Al Shmad. The Jewish people will survive, but will have casualties all along. We'll have Dorish Al Shmad throughout all the generations. Arolos HaShachar till Yimos HaMashiach. So why is Yimos HaMashiach described as Alois HaShachar? So the Zohar has a comment, Mefarshim quoted. The Zohar has a comment on the Pasuk. Just like Alois HaShachar comes Kimo Kimo, it's not that it's pitch black and all of a sudden the sun appears. It's pitch black, then it starts to get a little light, and a little more light, slowly, 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 till the sun rises. So too, the Geula, Ha'asidah, will come, Kima, Kima. Yerushalmi has like that also, same as the Zohar. The Geula, Ha'asidah, will come, Kima, Kima. This, of course, is if it'll be Loizachu. The Gemara says in the last parak in Sanhedrin, there are two possibilities. If Zachu, then it'll be Achishenah. The Navi says, Ani Hashem bi'ito achishenu. There's a gula bi'ito, and there's a gula b'achishenu. So if it'll be achishenu, so it can be in a split second. And if it'll be bi'ito, then it's going to go slowly, slowly. The Gemara says there's a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, the Moshiach is going to come riding on a donkey. Ani v'roichev al chamor. Ani means humble, onov. Only a few times in Tanakh means onav. A humble person, rochev al chamor. Chamor goes very slowly. It doesn't gallop quickly like a horse. A horse, they have horse races. They don't have donkey races. The donkeys go very slow. So on the one hand, the Pasuk describes Melech HaMashiach coming, taking his time, taking his good old time, on rochev al chamor. Then there's another Pasuk that describes, oru hinei yemanoni shemaya. It's like the clouds are flying. When we look at the clouds, it looks very slow, but the clouds, they're so far away, it looks like it's going slow. It's going very quickly. The clouds are going very quickly. So the Gemara says, which is it? Is the Geula going to come flying like the clouds, very quickly? Or is the Geula going to come slowly, slowly? The Gemara says, if it'll be Be'ita, then it's going to be slowly. If it'll be achishena, if zachud, then it'll be achishena, then it'll be very quickly. But if it'll be loy zachud, then it'll be like any development in history. All developments in history take a long time. Everything goes slowly. So that's what the Zohar has the comment on this pasuk. Vayovik ishim aralos hashachar, there'll be anti-Semitism, and there'll be Dorish al Shmad until the days of Mashiach. Yankov Avinu asks this Malach for a blessing. Kimei Berachtani. So he gives him a blessing. He gives him a name, Yisrael. Then the Rabbanu Shalom says it afterwards. Hashem appears to Yankov Avinu. So he says, no longer will your name be Yank, and now it's going to be Yisrael. The one on the end of the first parak of Brachas on the last daf points out that by Avram Avinu says also, your name will no longer be Avram, it'll be Avraham, and you're not allowed to use the old name Avram. If you refer to Avram Avinu as Avram, that's an Easter. But Yankov Avinu's old name was retained. He goes under both names. He goes Avram was an additional name. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu approves of the change of the name that the Malach gave of him, but Yankov Yeram and Shimcha Kim Yisrael Kisaris and Zohar, Baruch Shalom approves on it. It doesn't mean that it was replacing the old name. It's an additional name. Yeah, Manishtan Hakam, Hakam by Avram Avinu, you're not allowed to use the old name. And Yankov Avinu, you are allowed to use the old name. So different suggestions are given. So the Poshita suggestion is that Avram Avinu was a Nachri. He started off as a non-Jew, and then he converted. He became Jewish. See, his name used to be Jesus, Christopher. A Jew is going to go with a name Jesus, a Christopher. So he changed his name to Avraham. He doesn't want to be known as the Goyish name. But Yankov Avinu was born Jewish. What's wrong with the Jewish name that he had? When a ger converts, he always takes on a new name. So Avram Avinu took on a new name. He doesn't want to use the old name. Vashenikin, Yankov Avinu was born Jewish. He had a name by the bris. He was given a name, Yankov. He gave him a name, Yisrael. That's in addition to the original name. Why should you throw out the first name? First name was also a Jewish name. Pasuk says that when Yankov Avinu saw Esav coming, so he had his whole family line up. He divided them, l'shnei machanos, he divided them. So first, v'yachem asa shvachas v'as yaldein v'shoyna. V'esleo v'yaldeho achroinim, asracho v'yaldeho achroinim, because he loved Rachel more than he loved the others. So he felt if the first group will be killed by Esav, so the second group will stand the chance of surviving, even if the first two groups will be killed by Esav. So the third group stands a better chance of surviving. So the Tosfos Yontif points out that it says, he writes that one of the maskilim asked him a question, why do we still continue to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? The Navi Chagai said, Chagas Chaim Malachim revolved in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi Chagai tells the Jewish people, this is God's desire, Be'erzabo, Be'ikovdo, this is my desire, I want a Beis HaMikdash, I feel honored when you build me a Beis HaMikdash. And the people were crying that they knew there were so many things missing in the Beis Sheni. How does it compare to the Beis Rishon? The Psukim say that the younger people never saw Beis HaMikdash. They were rejoicing and dancing, and the older people who remembered the Beis Rishon, it was only Chorev for 7 years, there were people 80 years old. So they were crying, and the pasuk says that the crying and the sobbing of the older people drowned out the rejoicing and the singing and the dancing of the younger people. There were so many older people, that's what it says. And they said, this is an imitation based on Migdash, it's a fake, it's not the real thing. So the Nevi'im are mechazik them. So the Navi Chagai says, Godly Yakvod Abayis Azeho Achrim in Arishon. The cover of this second based on Migdash will outshine that of the first based on Migdash. And he refers to the second based on Migdash as Habayis Hazeho Achron, the last Beis HaMikdash. So what do we knew that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so what are we asking for another Beis HaMikdash for, if the Navi said this is the last one? So the Tosfos Yontif quotes that one of the maskilim asked him this kasha, and he answered that in Biblical Hebrew, the word Rishon and Achron don't always mean first and last. Sometimes Rishon means prior, and the word Achron means latter. And he quotes the Psukim that it says in the first parak in Psochim, Ach b'yamarishin tashbis hasar mi batechem. It does mean the first day of Pesach he burned the chametz, means erev Pesach he burned the chametz. So how do you translate ach b'yamarishin? Yerishin means the day prior to Pesach, day before Pesach. So, and over here it says, Leo b'yaladeha achrayinim, es rachel b'yaladeha achrayinim. How can it be rachel b'yaladeha achrayinim? It says, Leo b'yaladeha achrayinim. So you see that the word achrayinim in this pasuk base, perek lamed gimel pasuk, it doesn't mean last. It means latter. Rachel v'es Yosef achrayinim. Yochel and Yosef are achrayinim. Leo b'yaladeha achrayinim just means that they were after the first group. Then he pointed out also in the beginning of Shmos, it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, and he tells him a nevuah named the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So the Rambam writes in Hilchas, he said, Yatar, but a Navi wants to be believed, he has to show his credentials. So how does he show that he's a Navi? He has an ID card that he's a Navi. So he has to show also some mafsim. So he demonstrated two mafsim. So he had the Mazeh b'yadecha, he took the mate, nepach l'nochash, and then the mate returned back to become a mate. Then he took his hand, he put it on his chest, and it turned to tzaraz. Then it converted back again to normal flesh. And then the Rabbanu Shalom says, Im lo yamina l'kol ha'os harishon, v'heminu l'kol ha'os ha'acharon. Im lo yamina l'kol ha'os ha'acharon, then you should take mimei me mitzrayim, and the water should turn into dam. So what does he say? Then there's another rose. So you see that the word achron in biblical Hebrew doesn't always mean last. Over there it also, it's like over here, means the latter, the latter. So that's what the Tosfos Yontif said, that the same is true regarding the Nebuah of Chagai, when he referred to the second Beis HaMikdash. Goli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeho Achron Min Arishon, it meant this latter Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean the last one. They were told by the Nevi'im there would be another Beis HaMikdash. They quote from the Rishoner, Rabbi Saul Rishoner, the Rishoner Rebbe, that he commented based on this Tosfos Yontif. The pasuk says when they brought the Pesach Mitzrayim, they had to put the dam hashtei mezuzos v'al hamashkav. It says, "Hoy adam lachem ba'os al abatim." So the malach shouldn't cause the firstborn to die in the homes of the Jewish people. So he said, "Al derech haremez," that the two oises that Moshe Rabbeinu were given was the mata nepach l'nochosh, and the hand turned into tzaras. Then lo yamidu l'kol ha'osarach ve'aminu, then v'lakachta mimei mei mitzrayim, and he converted into dam. So he said, v'hoi adam l'cham le'os al abatim, on the batim mikdoshes, that there's going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. The dam was the third os, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was told there's the first os and the achran os, lo yamidu l'kol ha'osarach, there's going to be another. So they see that the word achran doesn't always mean last. So that's the Tosfos Yontif's answer. It says in the pasuk, "Vayadam lachem leos al abatim." The dam that was different dam. That wasn't the dam that they put on the homes. That was the dam. The mayim is nafach ledam. So that's the vertel of the original Rebbe based on that Tosfos Yontif.
I think the
Gra is quite
the same thing.
Oh, adam lachem leos al abatim. Oh. It's very questionable. See, that makes more sense. Very questionable that the original Rebbe, the original was so learned that he knew the Tosfos Yontif.
Any good word is quoted by a good Hasidic Rebbe.
Yeah. No, but the original, they're not so sure that the questions whether he really knew how to learn. Okay, they've only gone through the Tosfos Yontif. Okay. I don't know. The Pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu is afraid his brother is going to kill him. What happens when they meet? He kisses him, he hugs him. Vayichapkehu, vayibal tzavra, vayishakehu, vayifku. They're crying and they're loving up. What's going on over here? So they're in the kudus. The Gemara says they're in the kudus on the every letter vayishakehu. He wanted to kill him, but there was min hashamayim that it didn't happen. So the pasuk in today's haftorah, the haftorah always supposed to have some common theme with the sedra. So the Haftorah says, Ech nechpesu Esav nivu matzpunov. So the Medrash understands that Esav was hugging and kissing Yankov and crying and so on. But when he first met Yankov, he saw that he was grating his teeth. Esav wanted to kill him. So nivu matzpunov, his teeth, from the way his teeth appeared through his open mouth, he can see that he didn't want to kiss him. That the plan was changed. So that's the Haftorah is mentioning this. That this Vayishakehu wasn't his original intention. His intention really was he wanted to kill him. But he was Nitzel. So Esav says, no, thank you. And Yaakov insists, no, I want you to take the gift. So he, after a little bit of insistence, he accepts it. And then Esav says, let's travel together. Let's go together. So he says, I have little babies here. Hatzon v'abaka, all the satellites, too hard. I'll meet up with you later. Adasha ovo el adoni, I'll meet you later. When was that? He never met him later. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the pasuk v'olam Hashem atzion l'shpoitos haresav. Lo si lova, we're going to meet up with Esav. We're going to be judging Esav. He's going to be punished. That's the last pasuk in the Haftorah. That's another connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha. The concluding pasuk says that the day will come when the Gula Asidah will come, V'olam Hashem atzion l'shpoitos haresav, V'olishal Hashem amlucha. We'll meet up with Esav and he'll be judged and punished for all of the avilas that he did to the Jewish people all of the years. The pasuk says also in the Haftorah, Nechamas Achicha Yankiv Techascha Busha V'nechvato Li'olam. The Esav will be dead embarrassed from the gezel of Yankev Avina. Mechamas Achicha Yankev. What do you mean? Gezel? Chomas. Gezel. Ches Mem Samach. Mechamas Achicha Yankev Techas Chabusha. So the Poshim Pshat is that Nochem was stealing so much from the Jewish people. They'll be embarrassed. And the Yoy Madin of Olam Hashem Shpaitis HaReisov, they'll be embarrassed that they did so much Gezel. So one of the Shari Tshuva on Hilchas Matzah next to the Behetev quotes one of the Achrayim has a different interpretation. Yankov Avinu was also a ganav. He stole the b'chora. He didn't steal. He finagled to get the b'chora. Esav finagled to steal things from people. Yankov finagled to get mitzvahs from the form of gzela that Yankov not mechamas echicha Yankov. You stole from Yankov. You should be embarrassed that you and your brother both did finagling, but your brother did finagling to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tov. You did finagling to steal money and to harm people. So that's what the Shari Tshuva discusses in Hilchas Pesach. What if there are two people and there's only one kazayis of matzah? So is it improper for me to convince the other guy that he should let me eat the matzah? I'm going to fadrei my cup. I'm going. He's just as mechuyev as I am. Just exactly mechuyev as I am. I give him a whole explanation, which is be untrue, why he should let me eat the whole matzah. So he quotes some Achrayim say that that's chamas achicha yankim, that's permissible. It's questionable. So that's his. He quotes one Achrayim has that interpretation in the pasuk in the Haftorah. So you. Yaakov Avinu was Nitzel. He lived by Lavan for 20 years, and then he can breathe a sigh of relief. He pulled through his encounter with Esav, and then he was had such a sense of gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shlom that he survived all these years and all these encounters with Lavan and Esav. So he comes to Shechem, Vayichan es pnei ha'ir. So the Pashup Shad Vayichan Loshan Chanaya. He set up his camp, all of his tents, right on the outskirts of the city Shechem. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara by Madlikin says, Vayichan Loshan Chain. He added Chain to the city. Why do you add Chain? If a person was Nitzel, a person was Besakona, and he was Nitzel, so he really should express his gratitude to Rebbeinu Shlom by doing something important in the world. So Yankov Avinu, by Yichan es Penei, he added chayin to the city Shechem. So the Gemara has three different suggestions. What did he do? The one interpretation is that he introduced shopping malls. Instead of shopping for the food over here and the clothing over there and the televisions over there and the automobiles over there, he had them have all the shops in the same vicinity. So you don't have to go knock yourself out traveling the whole day long from one shop to the other. Another suggestion is they didn't have good hygienic conditions, so he introduced bote merchatzos. He explained to them that it's healthier if you take a bath once a year, once a month, once a week, once a day, whatever. he introduced Batei Merchatzot. The other pshat is that he introduced Matbeis. They used to do always barter, and he convinced them that they should have a monetary system, a coin system. There were some sociologists who write, used to write, they still write, that the whole institution of money is an evil of society. That it's a man-made evil. It's a terrible thing. Occupy Wall Street, Mr. Amar, they were angry about that also. There shouldn't be such a thing as a monetary system. It shouldn't be money. It brings all the evils in the world. People want to amass a lot of money. You should go back to the whole barter system. You shouldn't have such a thing as money. So the Chazon Ish writes in one place that he doesn't think that that's correct at all. He says, since there are three, the Gemara says, Mechores, Daf, and Aleph, there are three halachas, where Shavu Kesef is not Kekesef, when you need Daf Kekesef. Pinyan Mashishene is the famous one. You have to have Kesef Sheyesh Olav Tzura. You have to have Daf Kemat Beyes. You can't be paid the Maaseh Sheni on Shavu Kesef. And then another din is Machza Shekel. Yerushalmi says Machza Shekel. You have to give Davke Kesef. He can't be Yotzei but Shavu Kesef. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, one of his tshuvas in Yerideya, where he writes that he wrote a chibra on Yerushalmi that he had to leave behind when he ran away from the communists. That was his main life's work, his chibra on Yerushalmi. He felt bad about that. So he says, in my chibra on Yerushalmi that I left behind when I ran away from the communists, I explained that this is a din deraisa, that machza shekel has to be dafke kesef, and not shavu kesef, that's a din deraisa. The third din is clearly only a din derabanan. When you come, sholosh hagalim, to the Beis HaMikdash, and when you buy in Yerushalayim, you want to buy oilas riyo, you have to buy dafke by paying cash. If you use shavu kesef, you're not allowed to buy the oilas riyo by barter, by giving a shavu kesef. And the Gemara gives the whole reason with the rabbanan. That the value may go down. He may set aside a thing, you think it's going to be worth so much money, the value may go down. So you need Davki Kesef. So that's only a din de Rabban. But the Machza Shekel Rabbi Moshe thinks is the Raisa, just like the Pinyan Maaseh Sheni. That's what the Chazon Ish says. If you have a din de Raisa that can only be fulfilled by having Kesef, means that God envisions a perfect world. The perfect world has to have Matbeis. You wouldn't be able to fulfill these two mitzvahs, a Pinyan Maaseh Sheni, Machza Shekel, if you wouldn't introduce the monetary system. You have to have a kesef. It's not enough just to have shavu kesef. So the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu felt obligated to institute by Yochanan Penehu Ir. He felt he has to give something to society because he experienced this Yeshua. He had a Hatzolah from Lavan or from Esau. He felt obligated to do it. The Jews should feel obligated. We should all feel obligated. A lot of Jews feel we just have to mind our own business to keep the Tariag Mitzvahs. It's not our obligation to worry about the economy of the world and to worry about all the sickness in the world and to worry about all the drugs and so on and so forth. And that's not right. We have the same obligation as all the Yom HaSolem. We have the Tariag Mitzvahs over and above. We have a double burden. You have to take care of all the things to try to cure all the sicknesses and to try to work on the economic woes of the world and so on, social woes, economic woes and everything. And then in addition to that, we have to work on the Tariag Mitzvah Satur. The Jews have contributed more than their share in improving the world. The Jewish percentage of the world population is way less than 1%. And the Nobel Awards, which are not determined by Shomer Shabbos and not determined by Jews, they're picked by non-Jews, way over 20% of the Nobel Awards went to the Jews. Even though the Jews are much less than 1% of the world. So we have, and they don't give Nobel Awards because he came up with a teretz on the Marsha's Kasha. They give Nobel Awards for the people who improved the society. And from the Jews that got the Nobel Awards, quite a high percentage of them were Shomer Shabbos religious Jews. More than the percentage of the religious Jews and the population of the Jewish people. So the religious Jews and the Jews have already done more than their share in Vayichanes Pnehu Ir. But we should keep in mind, we are not isolated. A lot of times there's anti-Semitism because of the fact that the Goyim think that we're so different, we're not working on the same issues that they're working on. It's not true. I'm not working, but other people in the university are working on it. You don't require every single Jew should work on improving society. The Jews have to contribute their share to society, the same as the Umm Asylum. We have to do even more. Dina was attacked by Shechem ben Hamor, and Shechem Hamor comes to Yaakov Avinu. He says his son is interested in marrying Dina. Can you do something about it? So the brothers say, yeah, if he'll convert, if he'll be mal himself, he'll convert. So he was mal himself. He got everybody to be mal himself, but they didn't convert. This was the gear shaloi kahalacha. There's gear kahalacha and there's gear shaloi kahalacha. You have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs. He just to perform a bris milah, he don't sprinkle holy water on a non-Jew and he converts to become Jewish. The essence of Geiris is kabbalas on mitzvahs. There is a line in the Rambam that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that the kabbalas on mitzvahs is not miyakev. So all the gedolim all said that it does mean that kabbalas on mitzvahs certainly is miyakev. Rav Soloveitchik was very angry years ago. One of the musmachim from the yeshiva, who's still around, published an essay in Tradition that Kabbalah on mitzvah is not miyakev. It's a befeimish Yerama, a befeimish Yosef in Shulchan Aruch. So someone showed it to Rav Soloveitchik. Remember, Rabbi Hendel's wife had a baby, and he was sitting in the hospital while she was in labor, so he was reading Tradition magazine. So he got all angry. What do you mean? That Kabbalah on mitzvah, he showed it to Rav Soloveitchik. The next week in the yeshiva, Rav Soloveitchik, what are you talking about? Of course Kabbalah is on mitzvah miyakev. The Rama means to say the dramatic Kabbalah is on mitzvahs, that the person is in the mikvah up to his neck in water, and then the Bezdin reviews, they don't review all the 613 mitzvahs while he's in the mikvah, he'll get pneumonia. They review highlights of the mitzvahs, so that's the procedure. When the ger is in the mikvah, so we say, do you reject the Trinity? Do you believe in the Torah men ha-shamayim? Do you accept the Torah Shabbat Peh? Do you commit yourself to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach and to give tzedakah and so on, and so we review some of the mitzvahs. So the dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs that's done when the ger is in the mikveh immediately, 2 seconds before his tayvah, that's not the Yikuvah. But of course Kabbalah on mitzvahs is ma'akev. That's what the Gemara says, that the kusim, it says in Tanakh, the kusim converted, but it was a ger shaloi kalacha. As Elohim, how you over them? They still continue to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara Masechah Shabbos talks about a Gersh and his guy Ben Ha'umais, and he never heard about the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. He never heard of that. So the Ger converted. He had a Kabbalah on mitzvahs, but he didn't have a good educational program. So he never knew that the Jewish religion doesn't permit Avodah Zarah. But he did accept the Jewish religion. He didn't fully know what's involved. But if the Ger is told about 613 mitzvahs and he doesn't accept it, so of course there's no geiris. The Gemara says the geiris of the kusim was not valid because as havahem hayu of them, they never accepted anything. It was a geir shalei kalach, and Gemara just has a machloikis. Maybe the kusim are geiri emesim, maybe they converted a second time in later generations because bizmana tanoim, they saw that they were keeping a lot of the mitzvahs. So they had a machloikis. Why did they start keeping mitzvahs? Is it just based on osmosis? They were living together with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, so they picked up some of the mitzvahs from them. In which case they're still non-Jews, because the initial geiris was gir shaloi kalocha, there was no kabbalas on mitzvahs. Or should we assume that there was shuv nizgar b'lev shalom? There was a second act of geiris, and that's the accepted opinion. We assume that there was a second geiris. The first geiris in Tanakh, in Sefer Melachim, was meaningless. We assume that kusim geiri emesheim, shuv nizgar b'lev shalom. I just saw recently a review of a book. I must have been reading, I think, Jewish Action. I just got it in the mail this week, the OU magazine. So they give a review of they review all kinds of books. So one book they review, and they write, they're not sure whether this is Orthodox practice. You better ask your local Orthodox rabbi, maybe this is apikursus. That's what the reviewer writes. Someone wrote a book that we should add into the Shema Israel, Lekeinu v'lekei aviseinu, Lekei avraham v'lekei aviseinu, so Rivka rach v'aleya. You should add on a lot of things to the davening. So the one who reviews it, apparently, is a balabas. He said, better ask your Orthodox rabbi whether this is Orthodox. So then they reviewed another book. Just a one paragraph description of what the books are. You should decide whether you want to buy it or not. They have another book about conversions. So they have essays, probably by Rabbi Bleich, I forgot, Ari Lichtenstein, they have essays where they big go all the way to the right. Rabbi Lichtenstein is all the way from Bnei Brak. Who's this Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein? He must be a big Hanoi. So he says that Kabbalah on mitzvahs is lehikuvah. Then they have essays by the other rabbi, say it's not miyakev. Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not miyakev. So the latest book that just came out, a collection of different essays on the issue of conversion. So those who say Kabbalah and Namiyakir, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. What is Geirus? Well, just a ceremony. in the Chumash we see that's not a conversion. The Bnei Yankif, they said, if you'll convert to the Jewish religion, to the monotheistic religion, you can marry our sister. We can't. What do you mean? We can't marry our sister off to a man who has Orla, physically Orla. No, I can't marry up to a non-Jew. We don't allow intermarriage. So they go and they do a bris milah. That's not enough to do a bris milah. You have to be mekabel all mitzvahs. So this was a girush, like halacha. Of course, if there's no kabbalas on mitzvahs, there's no girush. Why did they kill out the whole city? Shimon Velevi wiped out the whole city. What did they do that for? So there's a Ramban, a Chumash has a famous essay here. He quotes the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah and Hilchos Melochim. The Rambam quotes all the dinim of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So he says, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is dinim, and dinim means that the community has to set up a legal system. They have to have courts of law. And if someone violates one of the, someone does an unjust act, someone, a man rapes a woman, so they have to bring him to justice. So over here, Shechem ben Hamor raped Dina, and nobody does anything. They just let him get away with it. They write it up in the newspapers and they get vita, and no one bothers to do anything about it. So the Rambam says they all deserve the death penalty because they all violated the Shevi Al Tase. The mitzvah says you have dinim. Dinim requires you have to set up courts of law that should punish offenders. So the Ramban quotes this Rambam and he doesn't agree. He says, the Gemara says, Azarasam zuim misasam by the Bnei Noach, when they violate one of the Averis, if they worship Avodah Zarah, if they violate Gilui Arayis, if they eat Eiv Menachai, they did an Averis, and then there are no different Onshim, Malkus, and Misa. Azarasam zuim misasam. Anochri shegonav. The Gemara said, Ben Noach is nerag al pachas mishavar pruta. If a non-Jew steals even less than a shavar pruta, he's chayv misa. Whenever he violates any one of the Sheva mitzvahs Ben Noach, the punishment is sayif. They don't have arba misa, they have sayif. But that's only the Ramban time, that's only if he violates an avera. But if they fail to fulfill a mitzvah, if there's a mitzvah to set up courts of law and to punish the offenders, and we didn't do that, so we didn't violate an avera b'kum be'aseh, we didn't fulfill a mitzvah of dinim, so the Ramban Taina is, you can't give the death penalty for failing to fulfill a mitzvah. So he says, the Ramban says, nah, what are you talking about? The Shimon Velevi, they saw. They were Ganovim and they were all worshipping Avodah Zarah. They were all violating all of the Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So that's why they knew that they all deserved the death penalty for all of the good Maasim Tovim that they did. You don't get death penalty for failing to fulfill mitzvahs. You get death penalty for violating Averis. The Rambam writes in another place also like that, Lishitosoi. Rambam understood the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Avraham Avinu was obligated to be Malda B'nai Keturah. After Sarah died, he married Keturah. So there's a Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. So Rashi says the seven sons of Keturah were the sons of Avraham Avinu. So even though they weren't Jewish, Ki B'Yitzchak Kar L'Chazer, Yitzchak, the other one is Jewish. But he had it, since they were his sons, so he had to be Malvem. But in the later generations, the descendants, the great-grandchildren of Keturah, they're not Mechuyev and Mil. Only those who were sons of Avraham Avinu. And the Rambam disagrees, says all of those Arabs who are descendants of Keturah, they're called Bnei Keturah, and they're all Mechuyev and Mil. So the Rambam says, in Mizman Hazeh, all of the Arabs have to perform Milah because they're all Ataruvis. Everyone is a Sofik, maybe he's Bnei Keturah, but you don't give the death penalty me Sofik. If an Arab will not imal himself, they don't deserve the death penalty, because we're not so sure that he is from the Bnei Keturah. It may be that he's not from the Bnei Keturah. So the Rambam understands, first of all, that itself is a Chiddush, that he says all of Bnei Keturah, even the descendants, are Mechuyev and Milah. Shach Zai has a tshuva, he thinks that the Rambam doesn't make any sense at all. What do you mean? They're not Jewish. They only have Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Avraham Avinu was Jewish. He was Mechuyev to Yimal, the seven sons of Keturah. They were his children. When it was Mal Yitzchak Avinu, that was a Milos Habein, and Yitzchak was going to carry over the tradition of Judaism. But the Bnei Keturah were the sons of Avraham Avinu, who is Mechuyev to Yimal, and they're not going to be Jewish. But the descendants of the Bnei Keturah, so the Shach Zai said, doesn't make sense. He thinks that Rashi is right. He doesn't subscribe to the Rambam. But this Rambam is a Chiddush, that if a person knows that he's from the Bnei Keturah and he's not Mal himself, he's Chayv Misa, for failing to fulfill a mitzvah, you're Chayv Misa. That's the same Rambam as over here, that the Rambam says here, that all of the people in the city Shechem deserve the death penalty because they're mevatel a mitzvah of dinim. Yaakov Avinu, as he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, tells all of his family, they should remove all Avodah Zarah that they have. Why do they have Avodah Zarah with them? So the Mefarsh Machumash explained, they had Avodah Zarah that when it's batlu, the dinas that Avodah Zarah shall nachri lend itself to bitl. If you get a nachri to declare, I don't believe in this, that this is a deity, so it becomes mutabahana. So they had things that used to be Avodah Zarah that were ready in his batlu. So if it's in his batlu, so it's mutabar no. So why does he say, Hasiras alei anecha shebesechachem, hitaru v'achlifu simlasechem? So the Mefarsh Machumish, the Rishonim say, it was l'chumra. Mi'ikar adin, you don't have to. There was this l'chumra. There are different people do different things for a living. Some people are rabbis and yeshiva, some people are doctors, some people are lawyers, some people are accountants. Different people have different nisyanis in life. Depending on where you live and what you do for a living and so on, you have different nisyanis. So the Mesillas Yerushalayim writes, Ushmartem es mishmarti, asum mishmeres l'mishmarti, is not only a din instructing the Bezin, that the Bezin should introduce Asei Siyog LaTorah, the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ad Sheknes HaGedolah Heimam Ushlosh HaDvarim, Asei Siyog LaTorah. They made a lot of harchokas in the Bai Sheni based on that Asei Siyog LaTorah. So the Mesillas Yerushalayim says it's not only an instruction to the Beis Din that they should make harchokas. Each and every individual person has to make harchokas that are negir to him. If you're in a predicament, you're afraid you're going to fall in, you have a... I remember when I was a student in college. So on Thursdays, I used to have a professor who used to say happy courses all the time. I remember always on Thursday night, after I was finished with that course, I would sit in the Beis Medrash in the high school dormitory across the street, the same building. I used to learn Tanya for half an hour. Not with the Lubavitcher. I learned Tanya Mayan. I didn't need them. I learned Tanya Mayan. I felt I needed Chizuk Emuni after being exposed to this professor. By the time I had the professor, he was over Butler already. My father had the same professor my father, Zohar Aruch, had, and he's had a lot of guys were Yotze the Tarpas Rav because of that professor, because in his times, he was a big power. My time, he said, stupid happy courses, which no one was going to be nirshon, but still, I felt I needed an antidote to the happy courses. So each person, whatever in the seriousness a person has, he has to have harchokas for himself. So Yankov Aviva now became a businessman. He just introduced a monetary system, and he introduced bathhouses, and he introduced the shopping malls and so on. And he's blending in with the society. So he feels he better make harchokas. He's going to deal with a lot of non-Jews over here. So he better make harchokas. He doesn't want to even have that with his Zorah. That was in his battle already. If a guy sits and learns in a koilo, he's not dealing with the nochim, so he doesn't have to have these harchokas. Maybe he needs other harchokas. Make sure that he doesn't fall into other Yetzirahs. Everybody has their own Yetzirah, depending on what you do for a living. Each person has to figure out what harchokas he or she needs. And Mesillas Yerushalayim writes, people make a mistake, they think whatever the Chachmei HaGemara introduced, they introduce, and what do you need additional harchokas for? Dailana Masha Asur Chachamim. So he says he doesn't think that's correct. Masha Asur Chachamim is a Dava Shava L'chol Nefesh that applies to everybody. Whatever you do for a living, whatever country you live in, or whatever century you live in. And each person has to make achokas based on what he's holding in the world, what he does for a living. Hashem appears to Yaakov Avinu when he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and he says, the Malach gave you a new name, I approve the name. Shimcha Yaakov, lo yikar Shimcha od Yaakov, kimisol yishmecha, he says what the Malach said is good, v'yikar Shema Yisrael, and then he tells them, goya kal goy mei memeka, umalochim mechal otzecha yetzeyu. You're going to have, who's going to be goya kal goy mei memeka? He's going to have another Shevet. Binyamin wasn't yet born. So right after Binyamin was born. So Binyamin is referred to as goy, whole nation. So the Gemara in Horia says yes, because Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Every Shevet is considered kol. We paskan like that. The din of parhal and dovel shel tziba doesn't only apply if the bezna godel shel kol Yisrael gives a mistaken psak and the roiva tziba violates the din, even if the bezna of the shevet issues a mistaken psak and the roiva shevet violates the din. Nelam dovel meani hakol refer every shevet shevet dechad ikri kohol.
Were you passing by that opinion that the Beis HaGadol would also bring the Parhalon Dabar?
I don't remember. You have to look in the Mishnayis there. I don't remember. The Mishnayis talked about it. Only the Bezen Shalosh Shevet brings it. The Bezen HaGadol also brings. You have to look again. The Raivin in this commentary on the Torah's Kehanim points out another aspect that Div Shevet Dechad Ikri Kohol, that the Novi says in the name of the Rebbeinu Shalom, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, v'atem ben Yaakov lo chilisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Jewish people that they would never be destroyed. So the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the lokol shiftim Yisrael, not only the entire Jewish nation will not be wiped out, no one shevet will be wiped out. So the Ravid writes in his Bir on the Torah, Kehanim, on the Teuchechem, v'chukosai, he writes, that's because shevet dechad ikri kohol. The Haftacha was given to Kahal Yisrael that they won't be wiped out, since every Shevet has the status of a Kohal. We have a tradition, Gemiri, that they'll call a shift to Yisrael, and ever, an entire Shevet will never be wiped out. Yankel Avinu was told, Goy u Kahal Goy. He only had one more child, he only had Binyamin. So that's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash. He understood that one of the children is going to split into two shvatim, so he gave that schus to Yosef. Menashe Ephraim ki Reuven v'Shimon Yehuda, just like Reuven v'Shimon are two shvatim, so Menashe Ephraim will also be considered two shvatim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, I'm not just going to have one goy, I'm going to have kahal goy, that one of the shvatim will be split into two.
What about Shmuel in the Gemara Yevamos and the design that says that Eser Shvatim, we're not chosh v'Kadoshim anymore, because the banos of that generation...
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Very good question. I don't know. Don't know the answer. That's a very good question. The pasuk says, "Vayelach Reuven, vayishkav es bilo peileges aviv." There's such a description in Sefer Shmuel that the children of Eli they would sleep with all the married women that came to the Mishkan Shiloh. So the Gemara says it's not to be taken. This is not to be taken literally, and that's not to be taken. This means he moved his father's bed. It was a chutzpah. He moved his father's bed to his mother's bedroom, to Leah's bedroom instead of Bila's bedroom. No, but there also it doesn't mean that they would sleep with the married women that came to Mishkan Shiloh. It means that they would dilly dally. They wouldn't bring. The women came to bring karbonis after they had a baby. They're supposed to bring karbonis ayoledes, and they would wait till the karbonis would be offered before they would go home. So they wouldn't be in such a rush to bring the karbonis. They would take their time. So the women had to stay over another day in Shiloh. So the Bnei Eli were unfair to them. They weren't able to go back to the husbands to be with the husbands. So the psukim in Tanakh a lot of times exaggerate the sins of the biblical figures. Right, as if he did the worst of Aaron. Ayishkav is bila pilega shaviv. That's not what happened. He did a chutzpahdik act. So the Tanakh exaggerates. The pasuk says David HaMelech sinned also. So the Gemara makes his statement. Kaloi me David chata ein el atoya. But the pasuk says he sinned. The Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe means David HaMelech on the madrega that he was. He was certainly chote. If you say David Chata, David as an individual person, that's not really a sin. The Gemara explains why it was really mutter. But on his madrega, it certainly was a sin. And the Psukim and Tanakh exaggerate the sins of David HaMelech and the sins of Reuven. A lot of times you have Psukim and Tanakh where it's exaggerated. That's the tradition of the Gemara, that the Psukim are exaggerating. At the end of the parsha, you have all of these Elam Lochem Shemochu Be'edim Lefneim Loch Melech B'Yisrael. You have all of the alufim of Edom, Bal Chanan ben Achbor. It's unusual that you have two names, Bal Chanan, two different names. So the Gemara says in Eilu Treifus that when you write the name Kedor Lo'ema, you have to write it on one line. You shouldn't write it on two lines. So by us, we don't understand what's the Chiddush. It's one word. Kedor Lo'ema is one word. Of course you have to write it on one line. So many old Sifrei Torah, many old Targumen have Kedor Lo'ema as two words. My relative in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Posen, used to teach Tanakh in Bar Ilan. He's retired already. So he just put out the first volume of his life's work on Targum Onkelos, on Bereshis. 400 pages just on Targum Onkelos, on Bereshis. So he points out that in some of the old Targumim, they have Kedor Lo'ema as two words. So I called him on the phone. I told him that the Pesachei Tshuvah Nehemiah says that there was Sifrei Torah that had Kedor Lo'ema. I'm right. The name Kedor Lo'ema should be, in the Chumash should be two words, not just in the Targumim. So that's how they have a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah writes in Hilchos Gittin, let's say a man divorces his wife and his name is Yankev Yisrael. So the Ramah says you should write both names on the same line. Because the Gemara says Kedor Lo'ema should be written on one line. So Yankev Yisrael should be written on one line. Others say, what's a tzushtel? Kedor Lo'ema is one word. But Yankev Yisrael are two different names. So you can write Yankev on one line and Yisrael on the other line. So the others say, no, Kedor Lo'ema is also supposed to be two words, supposed to be a space in between. Kedor Lo'ema. Lag Lo'ema. Kedor Lo'ema is two words. And since it's one person with these two names, it should be on one line. So we're machmer for that. That's a shiloh over here. If you have Bal Chanan ben Achbor, if you have a Sefer Torah, you're going to have Bal at the end of the line, and Chanan at the next line. It's questionable. And maybe that it's not kosher. It says, L'chatchile, you should be careful about that. You should write the Yankev Yisrael on one line, but B'diyevet, if you wrote on two lines, it would be kosher B'diyevet. So I met a couple of years ago, a woman came over to me. She knew my parents, upset, distantly related. I don't know exactly how, distantly related. And she tells me that she got married at the age of 18, and she made a mistake, and she got divorced a half a year later. And her father was a rabbi, and her father called up my father, and my father was going to take care of the get. And then she tells me she was only 18 and a half when she was getting divorced. She was crying and crying and crying. My mother was holding her hand in the kitchen. The sofa was writing the get in the dining room. And then it was only 20 minutes before the shki, and the meaning is you do a get by yom, you don't do a get by laila, you need a bezin. And then my father looked over the get before they gave it. So her first husband had two names, Yankev Yisrael, let's say. So the sofer made a mistake. He wrote Yankev at the end of the first line, Yisrael at the beginning of the second line. And L'chatchil is supposed to write both on the same line. But Yevet, it's good. But this was L'chatchil. This was L'chatchil. They didn't give the get yet. But if they would have to write it over, she would have to come back the next day because he wouldn't be able to write the get in the 15 minutes left before the shkia. So the shaila was, the girl Nebuch was only 18 and a half and she was crying the whole time and she was falling to pieces. So we have a rule that shasatcha kiriyevidami. Sometimes we allow b'shasatcha lechatchila, what usually is only acceptable b'riyev. So she says, this is what she told me, that my father called up Rav Moshe Feinstein. At that time, a lot of people called Rav Moshe. They would get a psak on a telephone. Called up Rav Moshe and he described the whole case that the girl is crying and everything, a young girl. So Moshe said that that's enough of the Shas HaTchak and they should give the get now. They don't have to make her go through the whole thing all over again. Tomorrow she should come again. So she was so appreciative, she had to tell me the whole story. Now Moshe had Hairoas on every line and every line in Shulchan Aruch. They should collect all the Hairoas. Okay, Tope. Hagut and Shabbos, everybody.
I'm going to talk to you about how in the future that we haven't told Marina from the lab, though.